Welcome to UTG Voices with me, Josh Kay. This is the monthly podcast from UTG, where we speak to different contributors working behind the scenes to bring you the latest UTG content. In this episode, we're joined first of all by Stephen Mullen and later on by Violet McClatchy. Stephen is going to be sharing with us some of his work for UTG, and he'll be sharing with us what content we can expect from the team as Christmas gets ever nearer. In the second half of the episode, we'll be speaking to Violet about her role and some of the Christmas articles that we can expect to see from Titus 2 in December. So join us as we get a deeper look into the work, the voices and the content shaping UTG. So as we said, we're joined today by Stephen Mullen. So welcome, Stephen.
Hi there.
It's great to have you on. Now, we've called this podcast UTG Voices, and so perhaps your voice is a well-known one, because if people have been listening and watching the videos that have been put out in the past, it's your voice that is used on those. But we're really glad that you've been able to join us on the podcast today.
Yeah, I know it's you get a bit tired of your own voice, to be honest.
Great. Anyway, Stephen, so perhaps before we get going, you would just share with us a bit of your testimony and some of your background and how the Lord has worked in your life.
Yeah, no. So I'm the youngest of six kids. My dad's Gordon Mullen, and my grandfather was Leonard Mullen. He was a missionary in Japan. So from my earliest memories, the Lord was at the very center of the family, and I saw from the earliest days, like the reality of God and what it meant when people loved the Lord, basically, and lived for him and trusted him for everything. I was five whenever I first trusted Christ. It was probably very simple. I knew I was a sinner, and Sunday night gospel meeting in Newton Breda, where we went to, I just, bowed my head and accepted Christ as my saviour and confessed my sin and trusted him. And as it is with probably many people who are saved young, there's a lot of learning as you get older. So I would say through my teenage years, there was lots of doubt and struggles, and you just have to keep going around the foundations and ultimately keep looking to Christ. He is the reason I'm going to heaven. He's the reason I'm saved. He's the reason I'm forgiven. And so there's something about knowing him as a present saviour, as one who I have trusted in when I was young, but ultimately it's the one who I'm trusting in still. And yeah, I think over life, I've just learned the goodness of God to me, and I've learned the goodness of his ways as well, that sin is not just something that's theoretically bad, but it is literally corrupting and deadly, whereas God's righteous ways, it's not just a technically good thing to do, but it's the way of blessing, and the best place we can be is in the Lord's ways and in Christ.
Sure, and as somebody else who was saved quite young, I often think that the gospel is something that we don't kind of leave it behind the day we trusted Christ. It's something to grow in. It's something to get to know better. It's something to appreciate more. It's something to get deeper into as we start serving the Lord. And so that's really important. Yeah. So Stephen, as part of your service for the Lord, obviously you're involved in the UTG project, but what is your role within that? What do you do? What do you bring to the team?
Yeah, basically bring ideas, and producing videos is the main part of my work. So we've done different videos in the past. We do some of the seasonal videos, thinking about, how do we bring the gospel to light at key points in the year, when people are maybe thinking about Easter or thinking about Christmas. But more recently, I've been working on a series of short conversational videos with Joel Hawthorne. And really, our aim in that is to add something educational and accessible, but not simplistic either, for people who are maybe exploring Christianity for the very first time, but they're wanting to be serious about it. They're not afraid of the depths. So we're trying to aim maybe at someone who's picking up the Bible for the first time to read it seriously. So we're kind of going consecutively through different series. So we've done one on Genesis, kind of chapter 1 through to chapter 11, just foundational truths about God and life. And we're currently on a series on the life of Christ. Again, just, you know, helping people maybe understand what Christians actually believe and basing that around a key passage usually from the Word.
Brilliant. And so if that sounds like something that could really help you, then the link to that series will be down in the description on the podcast. So a lot of those videos that you're putting there are up on your YouTube channel. And so can you talk to us a little bit about why you think we should be using the likes of YouTube to share the gospel?
Yeah, like I think, you know, ultimately the gospel is always to be shared through words and through people and words. Hopefully, people who are filled with the Spirit of God and are living for the Lord, and God uses us with our words to speak and to share the gospel. And I would probably say, you know, before we even get into the YouTube world, I think, you know, 100% the most important part of our witness is the hidden witness, really, that is local and no one sees. And it's probably 90% of our witness. But I think we totally have this opportunity today where there can be this overflow from our life, and we can use technology likes of YouTube to speak to potentially people from around the entire world. So I remember seeing a graph, it was a couple of years ago, of the population of the world, and basically from the turn of the 1900s until now, like the world population has just absolutely spiked. Like there's been never so many people in the world, and yet I think it is interesting at the very same time as that huge population is, we do have technologies to speak to people in a way we couldn't have before. And the reality is there's many people in many cities where there is so little gospel witness. And I think, again, YouTube offers this way to show up in not a one-off way, but in more of a consistent way or a comprehensive way, and actually communicate the truth of God to people. You know, YouTube is now the second most watched media in UK behind the BBC. So people are on this site all the time. Probably my generation and younger grew up on YouTube. It's where you go first if you want to learn something. And so people expect to find educational content on YouTube. And I think we just need to show up and make sure that there is truth there in regard to Christ.
Absolutely. And it's a great tool, like you say, to reach you know, millions of people potentially. And so it's great from that perspective, but neither is it kind of all plain sailing. So what are some of the challenges in using a platform like YouTube for pushing these videos out and reaching people across the world?
Yeah, there's always negatives in these channels. There's probably a sense where we were never meant for, we were never meant to maybe I guess communicating at such a wide level, maybe the world we live in. I think there's challenges not letting the desire to be big corrupt what you want to communicate. So there's certainly a way to get attention. There's a way to get people flocking to a channel. But I think we're called to be faithful. We're called to be truthful. I think the biggest challenge for me is how do we use video in a Christ-like way or in a Christly way and not a worldly way? How do we do it in a way that's leaning on the Spirit of God, leaning on the Word of God, and not on technique? And yet there is an opportunity to be thoughtful. I think the reality is there's millions of videos. We think we have something that is vital, something that will potentially transform someone's life. So we do want them to pay attention to what we're putting out there. We do want to grab their attention. We do want to stop them as they're scrolling and to click on a video that we hope will be for their soul's good. So there's this kind of tension between not just going after all the techniques to get attention, but at the same time, be thoughtful about, well, who are these people we're trying to reach? What is it they're looking for? What are the questions they might be asking? And how can we show up to them in a way that they will find, you know, helpful and maybe engaging as well?
Yeah, and I think that's really important that we acknowledge in any kind of evangelism that we're doing that ultimately, yes, we want to be thoughtful and engaging in the way that we do it. But of course, any spiritual good or benefit that comes out of that is ultimately the work of the Spirit. And I think it's good to acknowledge that in whatever it is that we're doing. Now, Stephen, we brought you on the podcast in the month of December, and you touched on this a little bit earlier about creating videos for sort of seasonal things and certain times of year. So our listeners can expect a Christmas video from you guys this year. But what's kind of the message at the heart of the Christmas video that you're producing at the moment?
Yeah, oh, it's for one thing, it's not finished. So there's a bit of work to be done still. But no, we're thinking about the theme around the fact that, in a sense, the Christmas story starts in the darkness, begins in the darkness. So we have shepherds at night watching their sheep. We have wise men who are traveling at night. We even have Joseph and the dream he receives, I presume at night, although it doesn't say that. But Christ is the light of the world that springs from the darkness. And so we want to just maybe speak to some of the darkness that people feel, experience today. The Jews of Jesus' day were certainly in darkness in a number of different ways, primarily spiritually in darkness, and it's not changed. People still are in darkness, and we want to tell the story of the Christ who came as light to people in darkness. And what does the light mean? There's a couple of things there, but ultimately we think about how he went into darkness at Calvary to bear sin and to provide salvation and life for people. So yeah, well, that's kind of where we're going with it, and hopefully it'll be helpful and challenging.
Yeah, sure. So in that, take us a little bit deeper then, Stephen. Like, if we're speaking about the hope that is found in Christ at Christmas, he is the light of the world. What do we actually mean when we say that Jesus is the light of the world?
Yeah. So I think there's, you know, two big themes that kind of jump out to me. You know, when you're reading in Luke chapter, Luke chapter one, you have the time whenever Zacharias is speaking about his son John, who's going to prepare the way for the Lord, and there's one who's going to come, the day spring or the sunrise from on high, that visits to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. So there's this thing about the light that's going to guide, the light guides people into the way of peace. And then you also have the idea of the glory of the Lord. So whenever the angel appeared to the shepherds, it speaks about the glory of the Lord shone around them. There was this shining of the glory of the Lord. And we obviously get that. There's a verse in the epistle to Corinthians about the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus. And I think those two things are particularly helpful. The Lord Jesus comes into a dark world that maybe is asking the question, where is God? And the Lord Jesus shines as the glory of God to the world. He shows us who God is. He reveals God to man. But he comes as the guide. He comes as the light that is illuminating, giving understanding to the way, showing people the way of peace, the way to God, the way to life. He is the way. And so I think those two things are, there's maybe more in it, but Christ is the glory of God revealed. Christ is the guide that shows us the way to the Father. He is the light. We come to him to find life and to find safety and to find God ultimately.
Yeah, and that, of course, all lines up with really what the UTG project as a whole is trying to do. We want to show people the light that's found in Christ, and he is the one that we want to point people towards. We all acknowledge that we live in a pretty dark world, And so to point to Christ, to point to the light is exactly what we want to do. And so that ties in with the last question that I have for you then, Stephen, today is, what is your hope? What do you hope the impact of this video will be?
Yeah, like it's, I hope it plays its part. There's many, many people, I think, at this time of year will be trying to call people to look to Christ in at Christmas time. I hope it does that, helps in that people will, Christians will feel encouraged to share the message with others, maybe share the video with others, and that those that it would be amazing if there were those who thought about Christ in a new way and realized that he is actually who they have been needing all this time, maybe recognizing that, yes, I am in spiritual darkness, and the Lord is the answer. He is the one I need. Ultimately, that people would come to Christ.
Absolutely, and we would join you in that prayer that the Lord would really use this video and, of course, any other content that's going out over Christmas time to really just draw people to Christ and that people might be saved. So that's the end of our first part. Thanks, Stephen, for joining us. We look forward to seeing that video very, very soon. And for our listeners, you can join us in the second part of this episode as we continue the conversation with Violet McClatchy.
UTG Voices. And for this part, we're joined by Violet McClatchy. So welcome, Violet.
Hi there.
Thanks for coming on. We're really delighted to have you and have the chance to speak to you today. We were hoping to speak to you on an earlier episode, but we weren't able to do that after you weren't so well. But we're grateful for the chance to sit down and chat with you today. So maybe we could just begin, Violet, by thinking about your testimony and your background, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
So let me take you back 51 years. My life was heavily impacted by the death of my mum. As a young teenager of 15... my life seemed to be shattered. Back 50 years ago, people didn't talk about cancer and death. And so she'd found it really difficult to talk to me about it, probably too because I was her only child and the fact that she was leaving me, it was just very overwhelming. However, she did write a letter, which she gave me lots of life advice. Still have this letter. And right at the top of it, it had a verse from the Bible, a book in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Now, this was the best advice that I could have been given. Although I could not depend on my own understanding, and even yet I still do not understand, I had to learn to trust the Lord. He was directing my paths. Now, as an earlier time, as a younger girl, I had learned to trust the Lord with all my heart, realising that I was a sinner and needed a saviour, and that the Lord Jesus had paid the price for my salvation at Calvary. So having trusted at that point the Lord for my eternal salvation, I was going to have to learn now to trust God for my day-to-day life, in other words, with all my ways. I'm very grateful for a very close-knit church fellowship that I was part of in Prestwick at that time. And God used those people to fill in the gaps that were missing when I was missing my mum, and they really showed me true Christian love and care.
So that sounds like a really difficult start in life, Violet, and that's quite an incredible thing that you're sharing with us, and I'm sure you're bearing testimony today to the Lord's goodness, both back then and even up until this day. But how did life and Christian service develop from that point after your mum had written to you?
So Christian service is much more than what you do when you go to church on a Sunday morning or on the odd occasion during the week. Christian service involves all my ways, my home, my occupation, my spare time. So several years after the event I've just described, I trained as a teacher, got married and moved to Helensburgh, where I now live. We've been blessed with three children. And so being a mother is part of Christian service. And it's a very important part. It's a huge privilege to have children, but it's a huge responsibility to shape young lives and bring them up in a way to honour God. So that is a really important way to serve God. Eventually, when the children were older, I went back into teaching, which I enjoyed. And I tried to do my Christian service there as being the best teacher I could be, and was also involved in running Scripture Union, where I was able to tell the children about the Lord Jesus and introduce them to the Bible stories, etc. A few colleagues were invited as well to Christianity Explored courses, which we ran at that time, and that was a good way of sharing my faith with my colleagues. Also, serving at church, I'm part of a church fellowship in Helensburgh called Bethesda Christian Fellowship, and over the years I've been involved in different spheres of service. Obviously, being a Sunday school teacher was a pretty obvious choice, as I already had the training in teaching. I was involved in toddler group for 23 years, which may be a record for attending toddlers. Through this time, I met a lot of different people, and many went on to attend Christianity Explored courses. Lots of girls coming to the toddler groups were young mums, and living in Helensburgh, it's got the naval base close by, and some of their husbands would be going off for 3-4 months at a time, and they would be quite lonely. So toddlers was a good way to come alongside people, get to know them, and yes, share the gospel and let them know how important it was to have a relationship with God in their lives. Christianity Explored, which I've mentioned before, I've done numerous times and find it a great way of communicating the gospel to people. But one of my favourite things was to go out in the square. So prior to lockdown, and then eventually as we came out of lockdown, I was able to go around the town square. Now, Helensburgh is a very traditional town, and it has the square right in the centre, and there's benches round which people sit on and have coffee. However, I was able to take the opportunity to walk round the benches, give out Christian literature and invitations to our family service on a Sunday morning, and really enjoyed engaging people in conversations about a need for a relationship with God.
That's great, and there's so many different aspects of your service there, Violet. What I took from that, and what's a great example, I think, to all of us who are listening, is you've talked about Christian service in so many different aspects of life, whether it was at home as a mother, whether it's in your job as a teacher, where it's involved in the church. And so often it's easy to think that Christian service is compartmentalized in one place or another, but it is something that actually comes in and should impact every part of our lives. So that's a great example. So let's bring it then to your involvement with understanding the gospel, because that's another area of service that you're involved in. And so what is your role, and what do you do with UTG?
So understanding the gospel is a platform that's used to spread God's word to Christians and non-Christians. And several years ago, I was invited to attend a course where I may be, if I was going to be interested in writing. So the ladies who became involved in this were invited to be part of what was called Titus 2. Now, there's a verse in Titus 2 that says, "Older women have to be reverent in their behaviour, and teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women, so that the word of God will not be dishonoured." So as an older lady now, at this point I've retired, and obviously looking for other things to do to hopefully serve God. And I thought that this might be an opportunity where I could use my writing skills to convey the gospel, and also to build up others in their faith and their daily walk with the Lord. Over the years, I've written a few articles about biblical things that have touched my heart. For example, some encouraging biblical passages such as Psalm 131, where I learned that it was important not just to appreciate God for his presence, but also for his presence in our lives. Also written about experiences of circling the square with the gospel, and talked about people I've met and conversations that I've had about our relationship with God. Written too about particular Bible verses that have really challenged me. The one that says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Is that really how I live? Do I really live for Christ? And then recently I was inspired during a walk in my village to think about the coming again of the Lord Jesus.
That's great. And what we'll do is we'll drop the link to some of those articles in the description of the podcast. So if you want to go away after you've listened and find some of those articles that Violet's written, then I'm sure you would find them really helpful as she passes on some of her experience, some of her knowledge of the scriptures in those articles. So as well as writing, Violet, what other roles are you undertaking as well as coming on our podcast today? Mm-hmm.
Well, more recently, I've been asked to be involved in the care aspect of UTG. And Christians are not exempt from life's difficulties and trials. Being aware that some of my colleagues in Titus 2 group were going through bereavement, ill health, family challenges, we thought it would be helpful to apply what's taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, which says, God comforts us in our afflictions, so we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So, having experienced bereavement in an early life, then several years of infertility, family challenges, and with both my husband and myself having had cancer journeys, I felt I could empathise and relate how God has helped me in my experiences. Sometimes when I'm on with the girls, we would think about scripture verses that are helpful to us and finish off with prayer about their situation. And I also try to pray regularly for each of the writers in Titus 2 because we need to be upheld before God to give us the enablement to think clearly when we're writing and also to address aspects in our lives.
That's great. I think it's a really valuable thing that you do within that care team, just keeping an eye on others and checking in with them, making sure they know that there's a care there for them and that you're praying for them. It's a really valuable thing to bring because people are contributing to something like understanding the gospel doesn't mean that everything in every aspect of life is going just as it should. In fact, it can often be quite the opposite.
Yeah,
and so having other people involved in the project who have that heart, who have that desire to help and care for each other is hugely important. So we've thought about your background and testimony, Violet, and some of the things that you're doing in serving the Lord. But let's bring it right up to this moment. Mm-hmm. What are you working on? Give us a bit of a teaser. What are you working on at the moment in terms of your article writing?
Because recently I've obviously been thinking about this interview and I've been thinking about the work that I'm doing for the care aspect of UTG, I decided that it would be a good idea to actually write an article on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I've already quoted the verse and thinking about things like the word comfort that means to be strengthened and be encouraged and be given aid during times of trouble. It's not just a gentle soothing like a nice soft pillow or a duvet. It's God gives us enablement to have the strength and courage to face our circumstances. It's a two-way street. God first comforts and strengthens believers in their own difficulties. This experience then equips them to provide the same comfort to others who are facing similar problems. And God's comfort is a source of strength to help us stop striving in our own power and instead rest in his strength during difficult times.
That's great again. And we look forward to reading it when it's written and when it's ready to be published. And I'm sure that an article on that subject would be really helpful to a lot of people. So, Violet, the final thing that I want to just ask you about and have a quick chat with you about is this is our December episode.
Yes. Don't
know if your Christmas shopping is done yet, but it's getting ever nearer. So what can we expect, particularly from the Titus 2 team? So what can we expect coming from them over the next little while with a kind of Christmas focus?
Well, I know that many of the Titus 2 ladies at the moment are working on a series about women of the Bible. And so it would seem a good choice to have some articles written in December about both Mary and Elizabeth. They are both significant figures in the Christmas story and they're inspirational examples. Mary is described as highly favoured by God, and she describes herself as a humble servant and acknowledges that her blessing was a gift from God, not something she earned. And she has faith in accepting God's plan even when she couldn't fully understand it. She's obviously connected with the larger gospel story. Her role as the mother of the Messiah was to give birth to Jesus, who was to rescue and transform sinners. Elizabeth, who was her cousin, she was an incredible woman as well. She is a model of faithful obedience. She believed God's promises despite the apparent impossibility of her pregnancy. Her joy was not just about becoming a mother after a long wait, but was rooted in trusting God's word, which kind of brings me back to where I started with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
Thanks, Violet. That's great. And those two women there, Mary and Elizabeth, that was a reality for them. And you've shared with us today that that's something that you've been seeking to do and striving to do throughout life. So as we get closer to Christmas, those two articles there on Mary and Elizabeth, they'll be coming up on the website. So keep your eye out for those and for the other things that will be coming from Titus 2 team in the new year. So thanks, Violet, for joining us again today on UTG Voices. We're delighted to have had you along and we look forward to joining you again on the UTG Voices podcast.
Thank you.